All right, I'm set. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Let's start reading in verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, Lord, to meet in your house and to hear your word. We just ask one more time, Lord, that you speak to us, Lord, that you help me tonight preach exactly what you want me to say, Lord, and that you just clear our minds, Lord, of the things of this world, Lord, and that you help us to take home your word, Lord, something that you can use in our lives, Lord, to help us get that joy back and to get some things right in our lives, Lord. And I just ask if there's a person here tonight, Lord, that needs your salvation, that you make it clear to them, Lord, that you are a God who saves, and you are a God, Lord, that gives this gift of salvation freely to all those that trust in you, repent of their sins, and ask you, you're not a liar, Father, and that you will give it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the question that came to my mind tonight and the message tonight is, where are you tonight? You personally, where are you tonight? You know, as I was thinking about these verses, and if you just look at it, the timeline of Jesus. I mean, he's just in a few short chapters, he's going to be crucified. He's going to be gone, and he's explaining this to his disciples, and he's giving them, in my opinion, he's giving them like a little pep talk. You know, I'm going to be leaving, but I'm not really leaving. You know, I'm going to have to go to the cross. I'm going to have to die for your sins, but I'm going to be with you all the way to the end of the world. I mean, to the end of time, I'm going to be with you. And, you know, they probably didn't understand everything, but I think it was real clear to them once everything came to pass. But, you know, we have that blessing of having the Bible and looking at everything, and we're not lost. We're not, just kind of guessing where God is. We know exactly where Jesus Christ is. You know, he's in heaven preparing a place for us. You know, the greatest decision that you can make and that many of us have made is to be in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's the greatest decision. And you know, I think it's clear right here in verse 1 where it says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch in me. You know, we need to know where we're at in order to get where we need to be.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you're lost tonight, you need to know that you're lost so you can get saved.
Amen.
If you're a Christian tonight, you need to know where you are spiritually so you can get to where God wants you to be.
Amen.
You know, it's no fun being lost. I mean, it's not good when you don't know where you're going.
Amen.
You know? I mean, it's not good also when you find out that you're probably, further away than where you want to be.
Yeah.
You know, Michael told me a story, an experience, and Michael, hopefully I get it right tonight. But if I don't, just don't correct me. It's going to ruin my point. But he told me one time that they were going to Michigan. They had a drive all night or all day or whatever it was just to get there, because it's like, I've never been to Michigan, it's a long ways. And so they were driving, and Michael was really tired. And so he had to pull into a gas station, right, because he said, Terry, just drive for me a couple hours, you know. Drive for me for a little bit, I need to get some sleep. And so, of course, Michael climbs into the back, and he's going to sleep, and Terry's, preparing her, maybe getting coffee. I don't know exactly what she was doing, but going to get in the car and take off. Well, Michael's already crashed out. And Terry gets in the car and takes off, and she's driving to Michigan. Well, Michael wakes up about an hour later, and he looks around, and she's going the wrong way. I think that's how it went, right? Well, don't tell me. You know, it's not good going the wrong way.
Yeah,
I mean, the good thing is that you find out. I mean, if someone points out that you're going the wrong way, I mean, you can make up time. You can probably salvage some things. And the sad thing is maybe some things aren't, you're not going to be able to salvage. But at least you can be going the right way. You know, the best decision that you can make is to follow Christ.
Amen.
And if you're not saved, get saved.
Amen.
That is the best decision that you can possibly make.
Amen.
I mean, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? You know, we don't hear too many messages anymore on hell. We really don't. When I'm preaching and I'm on the streets or I'm talking to somebody and I'm preaching about hell, people get upset.
Right.
They don't like to hear it.
That's right.
I preach against purgatory because purgatory does not exist.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's one of the vilest doctrines, religious doctrines that has ever been said. What false security? You know why I think a lot of religious people do not seek God? Is because they honestly think there's a second chance. Well, you know, there is a second chance, but it's here. It's not once you die. And almost getting it right isn't good enough. You know, you heard the saying, almost is only works in hand grenades and horseshoes. I always say shoe horses. Horseshoes. I'm going to read some verses to you about salvation. The greatest decision you can possibly make tonight, if you are not saved, is to be in Christ. And when we talk about salvation, we're not talking about you have to be good. Or gooder, or whatever. It's not about being good. It's about being in Him that is good. Christ is good. He is our righteousness. He justifies us. We are justified in Christ Jesus. You know, it's like if somebody did something wrong. They happen in a moment of weakness. They've never done absolutely anything, let's just say. And in a moment of weakness, they stole something and they get caught. And they go before a judge. Well, you know, judges have the power to let you go. They have that power. It's incredible. Sometimes, you know, we read about it and they go, what's wrong? Why didn't they just, you know, bring the hammer down on this guy? He did something bad and the judge just let him go. They have that power. Well, you know, God has that power. He can justify you. Being justified does not mean that you are free of sin. In Christ, we're free of sin. What I'm trying to say is, it doesn't mean that God's saying you're sinless. It doesn't mean that you're not guilty. We are guilty. But God doesn't put that sin upon us because Jesus Christ has already paid for it. Look what the Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 6. Familiar verse? You know, you can never have true peace. You can never have true joy without the Lord Jesus Christ. It's impossible. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You know, it's a good feeling to be full. Isn't it? I mean, I've been more than full this week. I've been eating a whole bunch this week. And it's only Tuesday. But it's a good feeling. I mean, you know, I showed up to breakfast this morning at 6:15 in the morning. After eating a huge meal with Aunt Nelda just a few hours before that. And I even showed up and we drove out to the restaurant and I told Karen, I'm not hungry. Why do I got to eat at 6:15 in the morning? But you know what happened as soon as I opened that door and that smelled pretty good. I mean, it smelled great. I was even hungry, but I got hungry immediately and I got full again. It's a good feeling to be full. You know, it was commented to my wife this week that, you know what, it's funny, different preachers use different illustrations in their messages, you know. This preacher might use this, and this preacher might use this. And he said, and your husband, he always talks about food. Food is good. I remember one time when Bill was living up there in Toluca and showed up to his house one morning and Bill was all excited. He was sitting in his recliner and he was drawing some stuff on a piece of paper. And I said, Bill, what are you doing? And he goes, oh man, I was dreaming last night and I came up with an idea of a new engine. And I was like, wow, you know? And he goes, yeah, look at it. And he had this, you know, all this stuff and showing me. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, it looks pretty good. Do you do that? I mean, I go to sleep. And when I wake up, probably my thoughts are potato and egg, bacon and egg. Bill goes to sleep and he comes up with another idea for an engine. Well, you know, God uses this point about He is the bread of life. And if you eat Him, and it's not something physical, it's not something you put in your mouth and eat. Because if that were true, then the Catholic doctrine would be true. Because they say that every time you participate in Mass, you're eating the literal body of Christ. And if that is true, then what you're eating gives you eternal life. Well, I'm sorry, it doesn't do that. Amen. Because I got to ask my question, if it does that, why do they do it every time they go? Yeah. If it gives you eternal life, once is good enough. But they do it every single time they go back. But Jesus is talking about something else. He's saying He is the bread of life. And Jesus says that if you eat Him, and He's talking spiritually, He's talking, He says that the words that He's speaking are life. That is what gives us eternal life. I believe what Christ is saying. And He says bread, and He wants us to understand. Because I think most of us like food, right? We understand what it means, some more than others, I realize that. But we do realize what it means to be full. Amen. Well, you know what? The day I trusted Christ as my Savior, I was full. And I hadn't hungered again for anything else. The minute I drank of the Lord Jesus Christ, I hadn't been thirsty anymore. No more looking. No more searching. You have everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the biggest, the greatest decision we can ever make in this world. But you know, he goes on to say, he that beareth not fruit. You know, the greatest danger we as saved people is not to bear fruit. You know, God saved us to bear fruit. He didn't just save us so we can occupy a place in a church. Man, I got saved from that, to occupy a place in church. He saved you to bear fruit. What a blessing. What a privilege it is to serve God. Amen. You know that it matters, the life you live as a Christian?
Amen.
It really matters. It's not just, I believe in Christ and now we're good and see you later. God says, you know what? Trust in me. I want you to be my son. I want you to be my daughter. I want to be a father to you. And now I want you to bear fruit.
Amen.
And we all understand the concept. You have children. You want them to bear fruit. You want them to be prosperous. You want them to be wise. You want them to make good decisions. You want them to have joy. You want them to have everything. You want them to abide with you. We don't have children so we can just kick them out the door after we can't claim them on our income tax.
Amen.
We want them to come back. We want them to stay. We want them, when they're in trouble, we want them to call us up. Well, you know what? That's what God wants. He wants you to bear fruit. But you know what? In order to bear fruit, He calls us to be separate. We need to be separate. He calls us to be separate. You know, and it's not a separation for your to hurt you. He's doing it to help us. You know, seriously, guys, I am so tired of the quejas, of the complaining. It's just too hard to serve God. I don't want to go. What do you mean you don't want to go? Are we talking about the same God who saved you? Are we talking about the same God who pulled you out of your sin? Are we talking about the same God who did not say, I don't want to go?
Amen.
I mean, what did He gain truly? I mean, we read that after this is all over, every knee is going to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're told. I mean, we know at the very end, He's going to be glorified even more. We do know that. But when He came, for what? He came to save you. You know, look what it says over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I just want to talk to you a little bit about separation, because I think it's very important that we understand what God's talking about.
2 Timothy chapter 3. It says in verse 1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Look what verse 5 says. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." From such turn away. You know, he says there, it's perilous times. Perilous times shall come. You know what he's talking about? Dangerous times.
That's right.
It's talking about things that are not good. And he's given us a warning. And what's incredible to me is he says, from such, turn away from. Just three things. I think every single one in this list we could talk about. All 18 things that he says. But I'm just going to talk about a couple. It says, lovers of their own selves. You know that God never commands us to love ourselves? I mean, he says, love God. He says, love others. But he doesn't tell you to love yourself. He says, from such turn away from people that are proud. You know, God is, the Bible says God gives grace. Grace to the humble. Not the proud. You know, when I think about pride, a prideful person, I think about somebody who does not want to change. Who's rebellious to what God says. You know people like that? You probably know people like that in this assembly. Who do not want to change. Who are living wrong. And are putting on a facade. That happens. That happens in this church. That happens in all churches. Well, all churches, relatively speaking, right? I mean, I have been in a lot of churches in Mexico. We do talk to pastors in Mexico. And it's amazing. It's nothing new. They come to us and they tell us this and this and help us out, and we try to help them out. But it's the same thing over and over and over. Pride is very destructive. And God says, from such, turn away from. You know, it's a good idea to lose some friendships.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm not saying, listen to me, I'm not saying to get on our high horse and say, well, this brother or this sister or that person over there, I'm just not. Help them out. I think if we're called to love each other, I think we need to do that. We need to help other people out. You got a problem? You offended somebody? If somebody offended you, you got to go to them. I mean, doesn't it say something like if you go with your sacrifice and then it comes to remembrance that a brother has something against you, leave your sacrifice there and go reconcile with him? You know, you have an obligation to go to them.
That's right, amen.
You have an obligation. And don't tell me you don't know when you could have offended somebody. It's very obvious. When somebody doesn't say hi to you anymore, I mean, when somebody doesn't look at you anymore,
when somebody doesn't show up anymore, when somebody just falls out, why does this happen? Well, for lots of reasons. But they might be just loving themselves a little bit too much. They might be having a pride problem. And then it says here, also one more, heady, rash, impetuous people. That's what that means. That's what he's talking about. People that are heady, no concerns about consequences. They just rush to do evil, rush to do any kind of stuff. You know what? We really have to be careful about our testimony. You know that there's people in this church who look up to other people? There's kids. There's 13-year-olds in this church. There's 12-year-olds in this church. There's 10-year-olds in this church who look up to 16-year-olds and 18-year-olds. And you see them all the time. I remember, you know, Lauren, not so much now. I know, but when she was tiny and she'd come here, there was some girls that were a little older, and she'd be just always looking up to them and always following them and always wanting to copy the way they talk. And they're impressionable. From such, turn away from. We need to be careful. We need to separate ourselves. And I'm not... I hope I'm making myself clear. It's not that I'm saying we need to divide in this church. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you are not living right, you need to think about it. I mean, this is what God's saying. He's saying, you know what? If there's some rebellious people, if you know some people out there who are just rash in their decisions, don't even worry about consequence, don't even care about what people think, then you ought to not hang out with them. And if that's the way he thinks about them, what's he thinking about you? You think he just changes his mind? You think he says, oh, well, you're in this church, that's okay, you just keep living that way, and we got other little kids in here who's going to be looking at you, and that's no problem. No, I think that is a problem. You know, the majority isn't right or wrong. It's just not relevant. It doesn't matter. You know, right is right, even though no one's doing it.
Yeah, that's right.
It's still right.
Yeah.
You say no, it's just that everybody else, who cares?
Yeah, that's right.
What does God say?
Amen.
It doesn't matter if everybody else is doing it, it's still right. And it doesn't matter if no one's doing it, it's still right. Why is it right? Because God says it. Amen. You know, another thing I thought about separation is, you know, open doors are not always a good thing. You've heard that, right? You've heard, oh, I got an open door. There's an open door. God opened a door. He gave me a job. It's an open door. Look at that. I mean, it's an open door. Not all open doors are good.
Right.
You know, nightclubs? It's an open door.
Right.
You can go right in. And they even put it out there. I'm pretty sure they still do. No cover. You go, man, what am I going to do tonight? I have no money. Oh, no cover. Open door. Thank you, God. Well, you know what? There's no cover here either. We might get you on the way out, but there's no cover when you come in. I mean, there's a lot of open doors. Pornography. That's an open door. It's just a click away. Just a click away. And it's incredible. You can go, I mean, I like certain sites. I like Fox News. I like reading I like reading the news and reading. They have real neat pictures sometimes and crazy stuff. But my wife sometimes says, you need to turn that thing off. And I said, but why? I'm just reading the news. But look on the bar. Oh. Yeah. Even quote unquote normal sites, the temptation is right there. There's a lot of open doors. Sometimes open doors aren't very good.
That's right.
And we need to recognize that. How about our clothing? What we wear? You know, there's a lot of open doors there. I mean, you could go out and buy a whole bunch of stuff. You know, I don't know how it is up here, but down there in Mexico, the fashion is real tight and real little. You know, it's just hard to kind of decide. What am I going to buy? What am I going to wear? What am I going to let my daughter wear? And then the bad thing is she's also influenced, just like we are. Well, Dad, they're wearing it. There's a lot of open doors. You know, I don't understand. I really don't understand some attire. I really think our young people up here are really talented to wear some of the clothes they wear. Really. You want to have a good time? I mean, seriously, you're bored one day. There's nothing on the 300 channels you have at home. You want to have fun one day? Let me tell you, it costs you nothing. Just gas to get there. You go to the mall and just sit down. You've got enough money, scrape some change together and get a Coke because you're going to have a time. Just sit down and look. I'm a people watcher. I love it. And when we were up here the last time in February, went down to the mall, I saw a young kid with pants. Right, I'm not kidding you, right here. A young boy. I mean, he was a skinny boy, but he had a belt on and everything. And he was walking. I mean, it took talent. I mean, I don't know how he kept those pants on. I figured, you know what, if this guy runs, they're going to fall. I know they'd fall on me. How do they do that? But you can just have a time, go to the mall, and just check it out, and you can see what's going on. But you know, there's a lot of open doors, even in the clothing. You do not have to take and use everything. You know, the Bible still says, and it still talks about modesty.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I heard one time, I don't know who it was who said it when they were talking about dress attire. They said, leave something for the imagination.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, don't show us everything you got.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes we don't even care to look at what you got. There's a lot of open doors. But we need to be separate. How else are we going to bear fruit? If we're cluttered with all this sin, if we're just surrounded by it, if we just are just meshing with everything out there that God says this is just wrong. You're hanging out with prideful people. You are lovers of your own. So these are dangerous times. You should not be like them. And I'm just saying all this because of what verse 11 says. That really touched me. God says, I want you to have joy.
Yeah.
You really can't have joy doing that. Look, I know why that kid wears his pants all the way down here. I really do. He wants joy. He wants somebody to say, wow, that you got a cool outfit. I like those pants. You know, I like that belt or whatever it is. Really? That's the joy you want? No, we need to look for the joy that comes from God. Abide in Him. You know, we also got a duty. The greatest duty in the world.
bearing fruit. It says in verse 2, it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know, we have a duty to grow. We have a duty to love God more, serve God more, do more than we did, than we're doing today. Do more than we did yesterday. We need to be better than we were last year.
Amen.
It's not a hard thing to live for Christ. Seriously. Especially us, especially you guys that are saved. I mean, if you're not saved, then who cares? You just live the way you want. You have no conscience. I mean, I never thought about it. Before I got saved, I had no problem walking around anywhere where it was legal to walk around with whatever vice I wanted to. I didn't care. You know, when we were down there in Mexico City with the young guys, in several stops, we were walking by, back to the bus station. We smelt marijuana. The bus drivers at the bus stops were smoking marijuana. We got all the way to the end, right, Brian? And Brian said, did you happen to smell something when we were walking? And I said, oh, yeah, Brian, I smelled it. I was holding my breath. They didn't care. They were out there. They were smoking it. They were laughing. They were joking and putting people's lives in danger.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, let's legalize drugs. Yeah. You big dummy. What do you mean legalize drugs? I mean, I know there's no easy answer to that. Just don't do it. That's the easiest answer. Get saved, man. You know why people look for that stuff? Is because they got something empty inside. You get God and you abide in Him and He abides in you and you ain't going to have a problem. But sometimes when God abides in us, we do have a problem because we're not doing our duty. The greatest duty we have is to serve Him, to love Him, to do more. You're just not thinking straight. If you have problems in your life, if you are not doing, look, if I just asked you right now, what is it in your life right now that you need to change? Something pops in your head immediately. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. There's things that we need to be cutting out. And we don't need to be looking at it like it's some great sacrifice that we're doing. It's not a sacrifice. It's our duty. He gave His life for us. We should be willing to serve Him. We should want to serve Him. One more thing. We have the greatest delight in Christ Jesus. Look what it says there in verse 3. It says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. In verse 7, it says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. In verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. There's three things when I think about the greatest delight that we have. And the first thing, brethren, is a relationship. Abiding in Christ. I mean, a true relationship. We should not be dragging into church. It should not be a chore to serve God. It shouldn't be a burden. I mean, doesn't God say that if we are, let's read it. Matthew, I can quote it in Spanish. Matthew chapter 11, in verse 28, it says, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now look at this. It says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We do have a burden, but it's light. I mean, God does say, take my yoke. Look, we can walk together. I'm going to help you out. And yeah, you're going to probably feel a little heaviness. You'll probably feel, you know, a little tired, but I'll be right there. I know it does get tiring. Being separate, doing right is tiring. I know that. But it brings so much joy. How about those folks, those people, and I know a few, who can say, I've never gotten drunk. I have never tasted beer. Not one drop. They're not boasting. They're just telling the truth. They've made a decision. From a little kid, they knew the word. And somewhere in their life, somewhere in their growing up, they decided, you know what? I'm going to live for Christ. And maybe before they made that decision, they said, I'm not going to touch it because my dad's going to kill me. I mean, it could have been that. And that's good. I mean, if that's what it takes, if you think your dad's going to kill you, think that way. He just might. But so many things that we can truly, if we have victory over, and hard things, it brings joy. Because we've actually done. We can't do anything, this chapter says, anything without him. Any victory that you have, anything that you can say, you know what? Praise God, he's given me this. It's because of God. Amen. Because naturally, we are drawn to sin. Naturally. Yes. Isn't that right? I mean, if you know the problem with sin? It's fun. Yeah. That's the problem. It's attractive. That's the problem. But you know what's not really attractive? The consequences. Right. When's the last time you saw somebody needing a lung transplant on a cigarette commercial? It doesn't happen. All the cool people are smoking. When's the last time you saw somebody dying of health problems from drinking too much alcohol? Here in San Antonio, today, yesterday, that wreck, someday, some drunk guy was running from a police officer and crashed into a vehicle and killed some people. Those people were just going to Walmart. They just had a hankering for something. They just wanted to buy chips and bean dip or whatever it was. Whatever reason we go to Walmart for, they weren't planning to die that day. But somebody got drunk. Somebody decided that they wanted to have a good time. And they killed people. When do you see that on a Budweiser commercial? When do you see that on any kind of commercial? Any vices? You don't see that. That doesn't bring joy. God brings joy. He says that he wants to give us joy. You know, we need God to revive us so we can bear fruit. So we can be full of joy and rejoice in the Lord. This is what we need. You know, we just need to get away from this danger zone. You know, it says there, being the ones that don't bear fruit get taken away. I don't think it's talking about losing your salvation there. When I read that, I think sometimes we do get taken away. Sometimes we're just not being used anymore. We're just not teachable anymore.
Do you know people like that? They got saved, and they were tender towards God's Word, and they were excited about God's Word, and they were willing to serve God at any cost. And then just little by little by little, they started backing away and backing away and backing away, and now they're not even teachable. They've gotten so far away, they're just taken away. They're just gone. That's scary. I don't want to live that way. You know, I don't like being alone. That's why I like being married. I don't like being alone. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't need anybody to have fun. You know, I can have fun by myself, you know, just sitting there reading something or, you know, hanging out. Well, I say alone. I like to see my wife walking around doing stuff. I like her to be there. So I guess I'm not technically alone. But that's fun for me, hanging out with my wife. I don't want to be alone. But you as a Christian, if you're not bearing fruit, what a horrible, miserable existence. Maybe that's why the Word of God says, you know, it's like a dog going back to his vomit. You know? Maybe that's why it says over there that it's better that they didn't even know. What a horrible existence. To have known God, to know God, and to feel God, and to experience God, and to see His blessings, and then you just don't feel Him no more. Well, let me tell you something. God did not move. You moved.